السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
عبد الرحمن، معذرة إن تأخرت.
وعليكم يا شيخ.
الحمد لله، نحمده، نعم، ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our lessons on الأدب المفرد. We are on باب من تعوذ بالله من الكسل. We mentioned yesterday Hadith 656, where Al-Imam Al-Bukhari رحمه الله mentioned his isnad that reached Amr ibn Shu'aib and Abihi and Jaddihi. Amr ibn Shu'aib and the father of Shu'aib, Muhammad, and the father of Muhammad, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, and Amr ibn al-As. All of these were from the descendants of Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As, he had a son, Abdullah. He was just about 9 to 10 or 11 years older than his son, Abdullah, as has been mentioned in the books of Tariq. Amr ibn al-As was just about 10 or 11 years older than his son, Abdullah. And that has been mentioned in the books of Islamic history. They even say that the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, would always encourage Abdullah not to disobey his father and follow him. Abdullah had a son called Muhammad, radiyallahu anhum. So Muhammad is the son of Abdullah, who is the son of Amr ibn al-As. This Muhammad, he had a son called Shu'aib. This Shu'aib, he had a son called Amr. This isnad is Amr ibn Shu'aib. Amr, the son of Shu'aib, the son of Muhammad, an Abihi, his own father, the father of Amr was Shu'aib, and Jaddihi, the Jadd of Shu'aib is Abdullah. So this hadith is from the Musnad of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. He said, radiyallahu anhu, سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول I heard the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم saying that اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكسل والمغرم O Allah, إني أعوذ بك I ardently seek refuge with you. I seek refuge with you. I run towards you. Min al-kasal wal-maghram. Away from al-kasal. Away from laziness. Wal-maghram. Maghram is indebtedness. Allah protect me from laziness and indebtedness. We were extensive yesterday about mentioning the condition of many of our brothers and our sisters regarding laziness by way of inkar, by way of mentioning it and making it clear that it is something that is bad. It was not an amusement and it should not be taken for an amusement. I know a lot of marriages that broke down because of what we mentioned yesterday. It was never to amuse. The expression did not show any sort of an amusement, and nothing of such was intended. So every one of us should go back to the drawing board. I think that's what we go back home with after every class, especially on Al-Adabul Mufrad. Everybody usually has something he goes back onto, trying to mend and correct. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a means of goodness for me and for the rest of us, so that we all, bi-ithnillah, come out of these issues. We are reading these books and explaining these ahadith to find a way to get better and become better persons. They are not for an amusement. May Allah protect all of us. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasali wal maghram. O Allah, inni a'udhu bik. I certainly seek your refuge. I run to you for refuge. Min al-kasal, away and against laziness. Wal maghram. Al-maghram is indebtedness. Literally, what we explained in class yesterday, it has to do with two things. Someone is indebted regarding the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has a lot of acts of worship on his neck, or that he has a lot of sins on his neck also. Things he has to drop, things he has to do, things he has to do. Is entitled to pay zakah, is not paying zakah. Is entitled to go for hajj, is not going for hajj. It is indebtedness to Allah. He was owing some fastings of vow. He vowed requiring that he fasts. He is owing this fast. Or that he is even committing some sins that is required of him to abandon. In both of these cases, he is indebted to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second form of indebtedness is that the person is indebted to human beings. He has a lot of debt on his neck. May Allah protect us from laziness and indebtedness in any of their forms. Natil Masih al-Dajjal. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam will also ask Allah for protection against the fitna of Dajjal. We'd mention a bit of how serious the fitna of Dajjal would be when he emerges and before he finally even emerges. We had mentioned some of it in class yesterday, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasalam, he told us that لَمْ تَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُنْذُ ذَرَعَ اللَّهُ ذُرِّيَّةَ آدَمُ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الدَّجَّالِ. There is no fitna that has afflicted mankind since human beings became created and dispersed on the surface of the earth that is bigger than the fitna of Dajjal. It is a big, big, big fitna, ikhwa. May Allah protect us from this fitna of Dajjal. And then fourthly, the Prophet will say, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa a'udhu bika min adhabin nar. O Allah, I ask your refuge away from the punishment of the fire. I ask your refuge. I ask your protection against adhabun nar, the punishment of the fire. In other ahadith, the Prophet will say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ista'idhu billahi min jahannam. Ask Allah for protection away from jahannam. Ikhwa, this is a major lesson that one of the means of achieving our goals is dua, meaning that if a person wants to keep away from indebtedness and laziness, one of the means to approach is dua. One of the means, one of the causes to affect a person not being lazy is to be regularly making dua. This does not stop other necessary steps. For example, we say, Wa a'udhu bika min adhabin nar. O Allah, I seek your refuge away from the punishment of the fire. This is by dua, employing dua as a means. It does not foreclose other means, such as deliberately abstaining from those things that can bring you to Jahannam, like a shirk, like qatlun nafs, taking the lives of people, like a sihr, like tarkus salah, like man'u zakah. All of these things are things that can bring somebody to Jahannam. So it does not end with the dua. The dua is one of the means to obtain that goal. So if you list the means, things you have to do to get out of laziness, one of them is dua. One of the means to get out of laziness is a dua. I hope that that is clear. In Hadith 657 that followed 656 we studied yesterday, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said, Haddathana Musa, qala haddathana Hamad, qala akhbarana Muhammad ibn Ziyad, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qal, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يتعوذ بالله من شر المحيا والممات وعذاب القبر وشر المسيح الدجال. الإمام البخاري would regularly report a hadith from this his Sheikh موسى ابن إسماعيل التبوذكي. Musa ibn Ismail at-Tabuzaki was well known. We've read a number of ahadith from him in Al-Adab al-Mufrad regarding his reports from Imam al-Bukhari's report from him. He said, Haddathana Hamad, Musa ibn Ismail, his own teacher in this hadith was Hamad ibn Salama, one of the imams of hadith and sunnah, rahimahullah. He said, akhbarana Muhammad ibn Ziyad. Muhammad ibn Ziyad in this isnad is Abu al-Harith al-Qurashi. Muhammad ibn Ziyad in this isnad is Abu al-Harith al-Qurashi. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. He was reporting from Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, who said, Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, yata'awwadhu billahi min sharri al-mahya wal-mamat. Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, yata'awwadhu billahi min sharri al-mahya wal-mamat. وعذاب القبر وشر المسيح الدجال. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يتعوذ بالله من شر المحيا والممات. The Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, he would seek refuge with Allah من شر المحيا, from the evil of existence. In existence, in life, there are usually fitan troubles. In life, there are usually afflictions. There are usually difficulties. There are usually problems. For some of the people, sharrul mahya made them to become kufar. The troubles, the trials of life made them to run away from Allah who brought them the trial. Because life itself is about trial. لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. In that trial, we want to see who amongst you Who amongst you will be upon good deeds will handle his trials just the way we want trials to be handled. So this is part of life. So sharul mahya, the evils people face in life, wal mamat, and the trials people face shortly before they die. Sometimes these evils turn the people to something else. The scholars refer to them as aliftitan bidunya wa shahwat. Sharul mahya, people become tried with shahwat. Some of the people, it is with their desires. Their desires become the rope on their necks that drags them to all kinds of destination. Sharul mahya, that evils, the trials, the tribulations of existence. Wal mamat, some people, it is at the point of death. They already suffer trials in life. Near the time of death, serious trials come again. That is sharul mamat. Just shortly before he dies, serious trials come. Sometimes some of the people become something else we don't expect. In all of these, the Prophet yata'awwadhu billah, the Messenger alayhi salatu salam, would seek refuge with Allah against these evils. Wa'adhabil qabri, likewise the punishment of the grave. We know that the grave is either hufratun min hufarinar, a hole from the holes, a pit from the pits of the fire, aw rawdatun min riyadil jannah, or that it is from the gardens, a garden from amongst the gardens of al-jannah. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would beg Allah, don't punish me in the grave. In all of these, making the rest of us understand the reality of these matters, that these things are real, and that we also need from the means to achieving not being punished in the grave is to ensure that we make dua. One of the means to achieving it is that we would regularly be making dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabil qabri. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabil qabri. O Allah, I seek your refuge from the punishment of the grave. Don't punish me. And one of the means, like we said, making this dua is a means to earning that protection from the punishment. One of the means to earn that protection is that you are begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't punish me, O Allah. Don't punish me in the grave, O Allah. And when one is full of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'atahu ma yarju, Allah will grant him this that he anticipates and begs him for. Wa aminahu mimma yakhaf, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him security from what he is afraid of. If you are afraid of azabul qabri and you are sincerely afraid of it, you beg Allah for it. Don't forget, one of the means of avoiding azabul qabri is dua. You follow the rest of the means too. Let me mention one simple one that people may overlook, and it has been mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the things that make people become severely punished in the grave. One of them is that when you urinate, avoid urine touching other parts of your body apart from their exit points. When urine emerges from you, make sure it does not touch any other part of your body. It is from the means of avoiding azabul qabri. Let me tell us another one. Avoiding to go about with an namima, gossips, going about, like Allah called them, masha'in binamim, people who go about with talk, and that by that they cause disaffection amongst the people. These people are also punished so seriously in the grave. There are so many other reasons, so many other ahadith. So the one who wants to get protection from the punishment of the grave, he will not get involved in things like this. And then he will also be begging Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabil qabri. Also in this hadith, the Prophet said, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, that the Prophet, yata'awwadhu billah min sharril masih ad-dajjal. The Prophet will also beg Allah for protection away from the evil of ad-dajjal. Al-Masih ad-dajjal is a creature of Allah. We told us a bit about him yesterday. Ikhwa, it deserves that we know more about Dajjal and teach our children about Dajjal. It is necessary we know more about Dajjal and teach our children about Dajjal. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, because the Prophet kana aksaruma yazkuru Dajjal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would always mention the narrations about Dajjal. One night, he came into the house of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha and found that she was not sleeping. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was surprised. Aisha, you are supposed to be sleeping at this time. Why are you not asleep? She said radiallahu anha, Dhakartu Dajjal. I remember what you always tell us about the trials of Dajjal. So if the trials of Dajjal was something the Prophet repeatedly mentioned to the companions, and then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then when they remember, they have a sleepless night, especially our mother Aisha, then we should know that it's a serious trial, the trial of Dajjal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about him. He said, فَإِنْ يَخْرُجُ وَأَنَا بَيْنَ أَذْهُرِكُمْ فَأَنَا حَجِيجٌ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. If Dajjal emerges and I am in your midst, فَأَنَا حَجِيجٌ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, I am the means of defense. Bi-ithnillah, I'll be the means of protection for every Muslim. But wa in yakhruj min ba'di, but if Dajjal emerges after I have gone, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet said, fa kullu mri'in hajiju nafsihi. So every one of you would be the means of protection for himself. Wallahu khalifati ala kulli muslimin. I leave Allah as the protector for every Muslim. Allah listen, O servants of Allah, Ibadallah, fasbutu, be steadfast on the religion of Allah. Because that fitna is a fitna that will shake the foundation of religion. It will shake the foundation of the deen of the people. People who understand Tawheed, they begin to doubt Tawheed. They will see things that, is this real? Meanwhile, they were falsehoods. I think mankind is gradually getting to that. These days now, they show you videos, they show you events, they show you a person talking, beating somebody, singing, dancing. But in reality, that is not the person doing anything. They say it is AI generated. Subhanallah. So there is hardly a way that falsehood cannot be presented as truth. Today, There is hardly a way falsehood cannot be presented as truth. This is the meaning of Dajjal. Dajjal is like this. He will appear to the people as a person of goodness when actually he is a person of kufur and shirk. He will have a fire. People think this is Jahannam, but it is actually Jannah. He will have the ability to throw the people into either of them. But they are all the negatives as far as truth is concerned. So we're in a generation now where any kind of falsehood can be presented to you as a truth. And then we laugh at it. We say, oh, it is AI generated. I really, really think it is part of the system that the Dajjal will come with. He himself is a human being. The Prophet told us about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very huge creature, big. And his fitna is very, very threatening. I hope that our brothers in other forums will take the chance, the pain, to talk about the Dajjal. Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, in Sahih Muslim, while discussing the issues of the Dajjal, likewise Al-Imam al-Sakhawi and others amongst the Salaf, when they discuss this issue, they tell us what the Tabi'un used to do. They used to specially pay al-Mu'allim bil-Kutab, the teachers who teach in Kutab. Kutab are places like in the level of primary schools where children learn how to read and write the Quran. They learn how to read the Quran. They learn how to write the Quran. Children, basic learning. They give them money specially so that they can teach their children about Dajjal. The Tabi'un used to give money specially to teachers. Please help me teach my child very well about Dajjal and the fitna of Dajjal. I think we are in a bigger need for that in our own times today, to keep a regular reminder about the Dajjal. And the Prophet told us, as we mentioned in class yesterday, alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the muqaddimat to the emergence of the Dajjal is that people will stop talking about him on the manabir, on the mimbar, on the days of Jum'ah, during al-khutabu, during the khutbah of the days of Jum'ah. You will hardly ever hear about Dajjal. May Allah protect us from the fitna of Dajjal. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Kana al-Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yata'awwadhu billahi min sharri mahya wal mamat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he will seek refuge with Allah min fitnatil mahya aw min sharril mahya wal mamat, from the evils, the trials of life and the trials before death, wa azabil qabri, and the punishment of the grave, wa sharril masih ad-dajjal, and the evil of al-masih ad-dajjal. As a question I will ask before we move to the next hadith: why has Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah placed this hadith under this section when the discussion is about at-ta'awudhu billahi min al-kasal? The discussion is about asking Allah's protection from al-kasal, laziness. And in this hadith, hadith 657, there is no mention of laziness in it. So why is it that he has brought that hadith here? Allahu alam. It appears that Al-Imam al-Bukhari wants to tell us those huge, big things that the Prophet would always seek refuge with. So to make us understand that Al-Kasal too is a very serious thing. The Prophet was asking refuge against the Dajjal. It's a big thing. He's asking refuge against Adabul Qabri. Is a big thing. It's asking refuge regarding Sharul Mahya wal Mamat, the trials of life and the trials before death. These are big things. So the same way, Yata'awwadhu billahi min al-kasal, to make us understand that al-kasal is a big thing. Why? The Prophet would only, alayhi salatu wasalam, ask refuge from something that is big, that is serious, that is grievous. So the fact that he's asking refuge away from Al-Kasal is evident that Al-Kasal is something that is very serious and very destructive, very dangerous. It can destroy the dunya and akhirah of an individual. Al-Kasal can destroy the dunya and akhirah of the Kaslan. May Allah protect us from Al-Kasal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasali wal maghram. Likewise, indebtedness. Indebtedness is so serious. Indebtedness is so serious. May Allah protect us from indebtedness. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day our mother Aisha asked him, why are you always asking Allah for protection against indebtedness? The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna ar-rajula idha gharima haddatha fa kadhaba. When an individual becomes seriously indebted to people, when he tells them something, it will be a lie. You see, someone is owing a debt. When he's asked, when will you settle my debt? He says, inshallah, next tomorrow. It will not be next tomorrow. If you ask again next tomorrow, when will you settle my debt? Inshallah, to next week. He'll be telling things that are not real. He may be hoping to actually get it, but it will happen that it does not happen. When the individual becomes consumed in indebtedness, he will tell lies. May Allah protect us. He will be making promises and breaking them. So you can see indebtedness is serious. That makes us understand the seriousness of Al-Kasal. All of these things that the prophets ask Allah for protection, they are all things that are serious. One of them is what Al-Kasal, and it is our point of reference. When the individual is engrossed in Al-Kasal, laziness, life becomes difficult for him. And if he's careful, it can lead him to something else. The discussions we had yesterday about laziness from our brothers and some of our sisters, I had messages that this thing had destroyed a lot of marriages. You see, the man becomes uninterested in the wife becomes uninterested in the husband. Sometimes it is from the two of them. And the marriage will gradually crumble because it will lead to hatred. For some people, it led to depression. Laziness brought them into depression. And they became depressed, not understanding what they are doing with life. Some people begin to say, oh, they are never do wells. They think of themselves as never do wells. Why? Laziness brought them to that. So at the end of the day, they see that everything they do is a failure. They started their life and become used to laziness. Al-Kasal. So Al-Kasal is very serious. And you can see the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was asking Allah's protection from Al-Kasal is evidence that Al-Kasal is something, laziness is something that is very, very destructive. It can destroy the life of a person. It can destroy his akhirah. May Allah protect us. The next chapter, Al-Imam al-Bukhari discussed in this book, he called it Babu Man Lam Yas'ali Allah Yaghdab Alayh. The chapter about Man Lam Yas'ali Allah. Whoever does not ask Allah. Whoever does not make requests from Allah, whoever does not make invocations to Allah, يغضب عليه, Allah becomes angry with him. The one who does not beg Allah, Allah becomes angry with him. Because Allah told us one of the reasons why people don't make dua, It is al-kibru, arrogance. He said, "Inna alladhina yastakbiruna an ibadati." Those who feel arrogant, they feel no need to make dua to me. Allah said, "Sayadkhuluna jahannama dakhirin." So Allah is paying them back with the opposite of arrogance, disgrace. The arrogant person raises himself up. He puffs himself up. What is the opposite of that? To bring him down. So he will get Jahannam. He will get disgrace. Who is that? Allazina yastakbiruna an ibadatillah. Those who feel too big and arrogant, thinking that they cannot be making dua, they cannot call Allah. These people will be brought into Jahannam in disgrace. In the end of Surah Al-Furqan, Allah told us again about the importance of dua. He says, "Kul, say to them, O Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma ya'ba'u bikum rabbi lawla du'a'ukum. If not that you make dua, ma ya'ba'u bikum rabbi. My Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not count you as anything. Those who don't make dua do not amount to anything before Allah." So meaning that making dua is from the very necessary aspects of our devotion to Allah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said to us that ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. A major form of worshipping Allah is to do what? Begging Allah and asking from him. And that's why a major part of shirk too. Clearly, the person becomes from the people of shirk. Doing what? When he begins to beg other than Allah. He begins to say, making requests. Oh, Shehu, give me protection. If he says this is shirk, from the issues of shirk, believing that it is the sheikh or wali or a stone or a jinn or a star that can give him, and he's asking him, trusting that it will give him. This thing expels people from the religion of Allah, and it makes them earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who alone should we ask? Allah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that to Abdullah ibn Abbas, "Wa iza sa'alta fas'al Allah." If you want request, you want to invoke Allah. If you want to invoke Allah. Allah alone deserves to be invoked. So dua is a major aspect of ibadah. So how is it that a person will now reject or refuse to be making dua? That's why the Prophet also told us sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, "Ad-du'a'u yanfa'u mimma nazala wa mimma lam yanzil. Fa'alaykum ibadallahi bidu'a." O servants of Allah, alaykum bidu'a. Stick to making du'a. Make du'a, make du'a, make du'a. May Allah accept our du'a. The other hand, some of the people think they are too big. They are too arrogant. They are too sensible. They are too intellectual. They are too this. Begin to praise themselves and give themselves example. They will meet Allah on the day of Qiyamah, disgraced inside Jahannam. May Allah protect us. To make us understand that dua is important, and the one who does not make dua, Allah is displeased with him. Al-Imam al-Bukhari cites this hadith, hadith 658. It says, he said, rahimahullah, حدثنا عبد الله بن محمد قال حدثنا مروان بن معاوية قال حدثنا أبو المليح صبيح قال حدثنا أبو صالح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال من لم يسأل الله غضب الله عليه. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from his Shaykh Abdullah ibn Muhammad, who said, حَدَّثَنَا مَرْوَانِ ibn Muawiyah. This is not Marwan, the son of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. how he was Yazid. That this is Marwan ibn Muawiyah Abu Abdullah al-Kufi. Someone else came to my mind. This is Marwan ibn Muawiyah Abu Abdullah al-Kufi. He does not even occur in the Tabaqat that I wanted to talk about. This is somebody else completely. Marwan ibn Muawiyah Abu Abdullah al-Kufi. He said, Haddathana Abu al-Malih. Abu al-Malih, that is his kunya. Like saying Abu Abdullah, like saying Abu Muhammad, or like saying Ummu Abdul Rahman, and so on. Abu al-Malih is his kunya. But some of the scholars differed regarding his actual name. Some say his name was Humayd, and some say his name was Subayh. But Al-Imam al-Bukhari is of the view that his name was what? Subayh. That was why he placed it in front of it. Abu al-Malih Subayh. That's also the view of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. Of course, the student of Al-Bukhari, even though they may differ sometimes regarding things like this. What is the actual name of Abu al-Malih? Was he Humayd or was he Subayh? It appears, and Allah knows best, that his name was Subayh. This view by Al-Bukhari and Tirmidhi. Because some of the scholars of Tariq who got busy with these matters, when they mentioned that it was Humayd, they mentioned it with what they call Sigatu Tamrid. They say Qila Humayd. It was said, some people say that he was Humayd. Just to make us know there's a second view. What's his actual name? Things like this happen when people become popularly known with their kunya. Like Abu Huraira himself. There are over 26 names people have mentioned. What is the real name of Abu Huraira? As popular as he was, everybody called him Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira. So a person can be like that. Everybody calls him by his kunya. Abu Nasir, Abu Nasir, Abu Nasir. Some of the people don't even know his name. Somebody has called me Abu Bakri before, because he thinks that Abu Dia is Abu Bakrin, that my name is Abu Bakrin, and my father's name is Nasir. That's just my kunya. Abu Nasir is my kunya. So people have been like that in the history of Islam, so much that people even forget their actual names. Don't go too far. One of such persons was Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. One of such persons was Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari. One of such persons was Abu Darda. Their names, Abu Abdurrahman. Many, many companions were like that. Ishtaharu bil kunya aw bi kunahum. They got very commonly known with their kunyas. Abu Fulan, Abu Fulan. One of such was who? Abu al-Malih. Al-Imam al-Bukhari found out and said his name was what? Subayh. Even though some people say his name was what? Humayd. But this is the correct view, inshallah. قال حدثنا أبو صالح أبو المليح. He said قال حدثنا أبو صالح. أبو صالح here was الخوزي, because أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه has another student who was called أبو صالح, but that one his name was ذكوان الزيات. ذكوان, Zakwan As-Samman As-Zayat, Abu Saleh. So, but in this case, this Abu Saleh here, his name was not also well known. So he is Abu Saleh Al-Khuzi, different from Abu Saleh As-Zayat, who was well known from the students of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhum. So here it is Abu Saleh Al-Khuzi, reporting this hadith from Abu Huraira, and in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, Man lam yas'alillaha ghadiballahu alayhi. Man lam yas'alillaha. The one who will not make dua to Allah. The one who will not ask Allah for help. The one who will not supplicate to Allah. Ghadib Allahu alayhi. Allah will be angry with him. Allah becomes angry with him. Why? Because dua is from the aspects of what? Ibadah. So to avoid asking Allah is to disconnect yourself from ibadah of Allah. And Allah has created you for his ibadah. He created you so that you can worship him. So if you stop dua, you have stopped a major aspect of worship. Ibadah. Dua is a mainstay of ibadat. Dua is a mainstay of ibadat. Very important. If you run away, keep abandon dua, that is arrogance. Allah is displeased with you. May Allah protect us from that evil. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man lam yas'al Allah ghadib Allah alayhi. The one who would not invoke Allah, Allah becomes angry with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another form of that hadith was mentioned immediately after 658, like a sub of it, where Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Muhammad ibn Abdullah, in my prints that I have here, the print of Maktabatul Huda al-Muhammadi, of Al-Adab al-Mufrad, it says that this reporter is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. But what is correct is that his name is Muhammad ibn Ubaidillah. He is Muhammad ibn Ubaidillah, not Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Please let us correct it. He is from the scholars of Medina. So he is Muhammad ibn Ubaidillah al-Madani. Rahimahullah. He said, Haddathani Hatim ibn Ismail. Haddathani Hatim ibn Ismail. Rahimahullah. He was Abu Ismail al-Madani, also from the scholars of al-Madina. Hatim ibn Ismail al-Madani. He was also from the scholars of Medina. And he was from the students of who? Abu al-Malih. So he says, An Abi al-Malih. An Abi Salihin al-Khuzi. So you can see the Abu Salih, who was the student of Abu Huraira in this isnad. It's not Abu Salih Dhaqwan al-Zayyat. This is Abu Salih al-Khuzi, not Abu Salih al-Zayyat. This one is Abu Salih al-Khuzi. He said, سمعت أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه يقول. I heard Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه saying that. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, من لم يسأله يغضب عليه. من لم يسأله. Whoever refuses to ask Allah, يغضب عليه. Allah becomes angry with such persons. من لم يسأله يغضب عليه. Anyone who refuses, I will not make dua. Ha, يغضب عليه. Just know that this person, the anger of Allah is upon him. Like the anger of Allah is upon the Jews. The Jews are al-maghdub alayhim. We make dua during salah every day, never to be like them. Ghayri al-maghdub alayhim. Al-maghdub alayhim are the Jews. Netanyahu and his people. They are maghdub alayhim. People, Allah's anger is on them. So they go to any level of criminality. Because they are criminals before Allah. Criminals. Criminals. May Allah protect all of them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us, don't be a person who is nonchalant about dua. Don't be a person who does not care about dua. Otherwise, Allah will be angry with you. Make dua, ayyuhal ikhwah. Alaykum ibadallahi bidua. Brothers, let us take dua seriously. Make dua, ask Allah for your needs. Fortunately, we'd had series of lessons about how to make dua, how to get ready, what to look out for, what to avoid, and all of these. Man lam yas'al Allah, the one who rejects asking Allah, ghadib Allahu alayhi, Allah becomes angry with such persons. May Allah protect us and not make us from the people he is angry with. When Allah is angry with an individual, one of the symbols of that is that we see him in every criminality. He can do anything. He can go to any extent regarding anything. Unfortunately, he thinks that he's powerful. He can go on. Look at Fir'aun. Fir'aun had everything on the earth that you can think of. Everything you can think of. Power, authority. He did not even need another superpower. Some people only kill and oppress and destroy people's cities. They themselves in themselves are lazy and they don't have any power. As for Fir'aun, the power, he had it. He had the military. He had a weapon. He had authority. He had the army. He had everything that he would need to fight any battle with anybody. So nobody tried Fir'aun. Until Allah raised Musa alayhi salam. Musa had no army. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa had no army. Musa had no armed forces. Musa was not carrying a gun. Alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah made him the means of destruction for Fir'aun wa junuduhu. Allah said, Inna Fir'aun ala fil ard. Fir'aun was oppressive and aggressive on the surface of the earth. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعَ يَسْتَضِعْفُ طَائِفَةً مِنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. That was how he did what he wanted. Just what he wanted. Killing their males and making their females to leave. But still, Allah told us, وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّ مُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ stood. So we want attention for those who were oppressed on the surface of the earth. Allah did stretch Fir'aun. وَأَغْرَقْنَا عَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ. That's what Allah says. أَغْرَقْنَا عَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ. We destroyed the people of Fir'aun. They were ظَالِمُ. وَكُلًا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِ. Allah was mentioning Fir'aun and people like him. So when a person is under Allah's anger, you will see him. He can be committing zina, he can be drinking alcohol, he can commit anything. Allah's anger is on him. So don't be fooled by his show of opulence. Most of the musicians you see are under this kind of an evil. Most entertainers and musicians, they do worse things. They smoke alcohol, they drink alcohol, they smoke Indian hemp, they smoke cocaine, anything. They want to show that they are guys. So most of these people are under Allah's anger. So those are the symbols that show that Allah is displeased with so and so. You see him upon the kinds of evil that he himself cannot describe. You see on them tattoos from head to toe, men and women smoking. These are people Allah is displeased with. So from the things that lead to that is abandoning dua. When you abandon dua, Allah becomes displeased with the individual. May Allah protect us from his displeasure. I think it will suffice for us to stop here today. We ended the lessons on the evil of laziness, the fact that we deserve asking Allah's protection away from laziness, and the fact that anyone who refuses to ask Allah, to beg Allah, to supplicate to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghadib Allahu alayhi. Allah becomes angry with such persons. We ask Allah's protection from his anger. May he never be angry with us. And may he never connect us, put us in the group of those that he is angry with. Ya Rabbal Alameen. I think we can take a few questions today before we call it a day. About Abdul Rahman.
صلوات الله عليكم يا شيخ.
آمين وإياكم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله يا شيخ. Please, what are the steps one can take to get free from the shackles of laziness? جزاكم الله خير.
آمين وإياكم. The first step, we have mentioned it. If a person wants to get away from the shackles of laziness, it's actually a shackle, a chain. It will chain down the lazy. Laziness chains down the victim, chains him down, draws him back. May Allah protect us. From the first way is this dua, making this dua regularly. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكسل والمغرم وأعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال وأعوذ بك من عذاب النار. Say this dua regularly. Oh Allah, I beg you, protect me from laziness. So this is the first step. The second step near that is for the person to recognize the evil of al-kasal. How much he will be losing when he becomes lazy. How much loss you have when you become lazy. Your earnings will drop. People who are responsible will avoid you. Your family will not be pleased with you. Your wife will be displeased with you because you'll always be complaining of little, little every day and insufficiency. So if a person recognizes how much evil, how much peril, dangerous, grievous things that laziness will bring him to, it will make him avoid laziness. That was why we mentioned some of it in class yesterday. Wallahi, laziness is very bad. Someone messaged me yesterday that laziness destroyed my marriage. She's out of the marriage now. May Allah grant this woman ease and return her into a marriage that is suitable and beneficial for her. Say, laziness destroyed my marriage. How many people are like that? So if you know this laziness can be so dangerous, destroy you, destroy your children, then you'll be ready to go out of it. Meaning that the third thing that we need to pay attention to in handling laziness is to do what? To understand the gravity and the evil repercussions of being lazy. From the fourth thing that you can do, ikhwa, may Allah protect us all from laziness, is that please look for friends, look for people. You know that these people are not lazy. They are up and doing. They are up and doing. They are active. You can see that these people are active people. Be their friends. Friends influence us a lot. Friends influence us a lot. Keep the friends of good people. Allah told us in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. So fear Allah and keep the company of people who are honest and righteous. So the fourth thing there is keep a righteous company. The fifth thing I can recommend, bi'idhnillah, was also recommended by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever you realize that something will bring benefit to you, stand up and do it. When you realize that something can bring benefit to you, stand up and do it. Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Stand up, do it. Don't allow yourself to be held down by laziness. Stand up and do what is necessary. Stand up, ihris, make efforts, race, stand up and do what is beneficial. From the things, perhaps point number six, things that will make the individual avoid laziness, inshallah, is like we said regarding keeping righteous company, avoid people who are lazy. If you know that a brother is lazy, avoid him. Avoid lazy people. Keep away from them because they will afflict you with their laziness. Yes. So once you know that Laziness has started to affect me. Please quickly check your circle of friends. Those ones who are lazy, keep away. Those ones you know they are active, please stick to them. From the things we can also mention, Ikhwa, this is not just about laziness. It's about your life generally. It will destroy your life if you are not careful about how you handle it. And that is the social media. The social media has turned a lot of people to something else. It has distracted them. It has brought evil to them. It has brought all kinds of things to them. Things they cannot imagine they will do, they are doing it. Wallahi, Ikhwa, when I was far younger than this, I always say it, that I don't think that a woman in hijab can be placed as an object of advertisement. I always think about it while I was younger than this, that a woman, they can't place a woman, a Muslim woman. They know that we Muslims, we don't like it. Now, Muslim women do it as a job. They are wearing hijab and jilbab and working as advertisements. Jilbab, a woman, Muslim woman wearing, even the one veiling her face too is also an advertisement, throwing herself out. Subhanallah. May Allah protect us from this evil. Social media has made people to become people who can do things that they themselves cannot imagine they can do. In the past also, we used to think about it. Is it possible for a woman who is married to start communicating and feeling free with another man? She's not married to. Is this something that is possible? So those days, the fences of your houses was a barrier. Now the social media, women talk to men like as if they are husbands and wives, without barriers, without restrictions. So social media can lead you into becoming a very lazy person. Very lazy. May Allah protect us. So watch your contribution. The only time you should be, if you have perhaps one beneficial class you want to attend now, one beneficial lesson you want to attend now, but that you become so addicted. WhatsApp groups, brothers, I encourage you, command your wives to exit WhatsApp group. That evil starts from WhatsApp groups. The evil usually starts from WhatsApp groups. A brother narrated an incident to me yesterday, and it's a very pitiable condition between himself and his wife. How his wife became lured into evil by friends. The brother cloned the WhatsApp number of the wife. So when he goes out, some women, they are there, this their work, and these women too should fear Allah. Women who go to destroy the homes of people by catching their wives. Catch, I mean, they catch your wife. They bring her into their group. They begin to puff her up with indecencies. She becomes like them. There's another case of a brother in the UK. The woman became so bad and evil because of the friends that she kept. And she was brought into WhatsApp group and all of these. If men, by way of protecting their wives, prevent the women from joining all these women WhatsApp groups, I don't think it is much, and I think it is lawful. It may even be compulsory on men these days, because it's from the major means of protecting the deen of your wife. She must not be a member in any WhatsApp group of women. No. Women WhatsApp group, no. Oh, we are just sharing posts. That is how it will start. We are just sharing posts. We are just sharing this. If you want your wife to learn the religion, connect her to classes. If you want her to learn religion, connect her to classes. But WhatsApp groups that are undefined, everybody is just posting. No objective, no goals. Brothers, go back and check these things about your wives and see how much it has influenced them and made them to become lazy. So while they lie down on the bed, they'll be checking these WhatsApp messages one after the other. And gradually, they spend hours surfing and browsing, messaging, reading, things that do not concern them about other people's home and other people's affairs. They get into it. Gradually, they become very lazy, distracted. Some women even hardly read one page of Quran one day. One page, but they are there for hours on the phones. They can't cook food. They can't do anything. They say their husband is irresponsible. Why? He cannot order for food. So that's why they start asking, is it compulsory for me to cook? Oh, it's not compulsory for you to cook, but it's compulsory for you to browse WhatsApp and Facebook. Is that one compulsory for you? The browsing. It's not compulsory for you to wash your husband's clothes. It's not compulsory for you to clean your bed. Okay, is it compulsory for you yourself to have your bath? Should you be bathing? You. Is it compulsory for you to bath? So you see, if you gather all these things, you are going to give birth to a very lazy woman. The man will not think twice to throw you out of the house. The same thing for men. You start asking, is it compulsory for me to provide? Is it compulsory for me to give you everything? Is it compulsory for me to... When you end these questions that you are giving birth to by lazy-mindedness, you see that your wife will leave you. So brothers, ikhwa, everybody go back to the drawing boards. These are some tidbits, and I think, and I hope that Allah will make it a means of goodness. Don't forget, number one is dua. Ad-dua wa yanfa'u mimma nazala wa mimma lam yanzil. Fa'alaykum ibadallahi bidua. May Allah accept our dua. Can we call it a day? The time is already fast spent.
Naam ya shaykhana.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alaykum.
Ameen, ameen wa iyaakum. Mm-hmm.